And the King, or the King James says, sup with you and you with me. Sup with you and you with me. You know what that sup is? It's supper, right? It's to eat. It's to have the friendship and fellowship. Every time we gather for family dinner and other times, but this one especially, it is for me this huge pocket of love and outpouring that I get to see within the ranks and files of this body of Christ. And I see that Revelation 3:20 being modeled. Now, I know he's speaking to churches, and I know he's speaking. Some have used it to speak to individuals, that he's knocking on the door, right? And there's no door handle on the outside. It's only on the inside that you have to open in that one rendition painting. But I have to tell you something, man. I sit there, and I it's my grand thing. There's two things that I love seeing with you folks, is befores and afters service and the hug and hello. Why don't you just call it the greeting? Well, does that sound great, or do you like hug and hello? Headbutt and hello? I don't know. High five and hello? Something. It's a little more warm. Why don't you call it potluck? Because it don't feel like a potluck. It's dinner. It's a southern middle-of-the-day eating thing. Supper is for the nighttime, right? He comes in and supper. So when we lay out the tables, it's going to be just beautiful. There are going to be all these round tables. And today at the end of service, we're going to move the chairs over, sweep the floors, bring the round tables in, and put the chairs back around them to start decorating for next Sunday when you come. And then when we get done with our little Christmas program and teaching, then we'll have food. And again, who are we going to set up there first? Vegetarians, because we don't want them falling apart on us now, do we? And then come on in. You know how it is. Come on in and sit down and enjoy the meal. And visualize what it's like for you forever to be able to have this time with Christ portrayed through the body of Christ. 17th, we're going to do a baptism. Another one. So be praying. Some of you have come to me and approached me that you wanted to be baptized. The 17th is that day for you. Some of you got baptized and you were like, you know, I really wasn't feeling it, and I did it just because somebody else did it, or I did it and you want to have that more meaningful time, then go ahead. That time's for you as well. That time. You guys online, bring your carcass down here and let's put a new life in it, you know, that time as well. Isn't that amazing? And then Christmas Eve, to let you know, typically we do an evening service, but we're not doing that this time. It'll only be a morning of Christmas Eve morning. So it'll be just a quaint time of landing the plane into this Christmas time. You guys kind of ready for Christmas? Some of you aren't. I know that. Some of you are. Some of you are just like, okay, when it shows up that day, it's here. And some of them ain't saying it can't get here fast enough. Well, just let me just tell you something real quick. We have culturally marked this time to be reminded of Jesus. That's it. You come up here and you see this little ceramic thing that's laying down here. You don't see the crown of thorns that's above him. When you come up here, you'll see a little wisp of thorns. Sometimes I'll put a nail in his little ceramic hand to remind you the baby lived so a nail could be run through its wrist and through his heel. You know, it's an amazing time of transition. Yes, it's a joyful time. Yes, we get to watch. How many times can you watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on cartoon, right? Some of you, maybe it's the Grinch that stole Christmas. Some of you need to leave the Grinch suit at home. But you know what? It is really an amazing time because the Messiah has come. Again, as a reminder, the Christmas tree. Does this have anything to do with Christ? Say no. Does it have everything to do with the world? Say yes. Why do we bring it in? Because this is what people know. We talked about it last week, the triangular shape from your view, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Maybe for you that are married, husband or wife, coming to the Lord at the top, not the angel, getting closer to God. You guys are drawn closer together. Husband and wife's out here. God's up here. As you move toward God's independently, you move towards each other. Maybe that's a familial thing. You know, when you guys are coming together as family like that, you have that, right? You have the green reminding you of evergreen. You guys know that the leaves never fall typically off an evergreen, right? They're typically there. Reminds you of eternal life. The ornamentation is you. The lights are shining there to remind you light is breaking, you know. You're the light of the world. because Christ is the light in you, and he's the light of the world. You're to carry off that luminary sense. Each one of these, find a light and find out which one is you. I had a crown up here. It looked like it went away. But, yeah, I had a crown up here. I like reminders, constant reminders of him. You know, I like constant reminders of him. Because the cross, yeah, Santa Claus, great. He came to die that we can have life forever. Isn't that the best? So enjoy your time of gathering the best you can. Some of you have to drum up everything that you can with inside to get through a holiday. Well documented on my end. Holidays are not my friend. It was always World War III in our house, so I never really liked them. And I looked at my wife, and let me tell you something. She is Snow White. I mean, bunnies come to her and get fed, and the bird, and right? You know, it's kind of like that. You know, and blonde has nothing to do with hair color, so she's kind of a little bit of that as well, you know, which I love about that. And she loved Christmas, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You need to be grumpy like me. Zip, take the Grinch suit off, right? And she showed me vicariously how to enjoy holidays. These holidays are meant to be called holy days, holy days. So somebody, last piece, if somebody wishes you a happy holiday, would you say happy holidays to you or Merry Christmas? Don't get mad at them. They have to do it from a corporate sense. Just remember, when they're saying holiday, that's what they're bound to do or what they grew up with. Just remember, that holiday is actually holy day, morphed into English, you know? So don't be the grumpy Christian. Be that loving Christian. I saw something that just, it broke my heart. I watched a YouTube short of a woman at Chipotle, took her plate, younger gal, and slung it on the server. Now, I'm not thinking that was a woman of faith, and I don't know what the other person was, but I just thought of the blatant disregard for people. And that's just not for you, Christian. That's not. I can't think of any of you here ever slinging your burger in the drive-thru at somebody else. You know? I think it was Chuck Swindoll. I watched a little YouTube short on him, and he was in line and taking his time ordering, and the lady was in behind him. And she was yelling at him in expletives aplenty. And because he wasn't moving fast enough, he was being the kind man. And he went to the first window and said, let me pay for that person behind. Now you want to go, oh, so do it, one, two, three. Oh, I know, it's so sweet. And he gets up to the next one, he says, can I have both meals, please? He took both meals and drove off. He said, don't mess with old people, they'll outthink you and they got more time to do so. So she would have had to go back in line and do the whole thing. Don't do that. That's not the kind of Christian we're asking you to be. Not at all. Yeah. I love the angle that I'm at right now. I love the age that I'm at because I get all that that cool stuff. You can hit record when you're ready. Separation. What's it like? Do you know what that's like? Maybe you have somebody that has left your premise for whatever reason. Maybe because it was an argument unfettered. When I talk about fettering and unfettering, I'm talking about being fettered as unto the Lord. You fetter a horse. Does anybody know what that means to do? Okay, what does that mean? To tie their legs? Not together, but to rope their legs again? We fetter our hearts unto the Lord. We're tethered unto him, you know. And to be separated out, there's a bit of a loneliness there. You know, maybe you are separate in a relationship where there's just not a closeness. Maybe because it's the actions that you're doing or somebody else is doing to you. Maybe you have had somebody that's moved a great distance across town or even maybe you're used to having them live right next to you and they decided to move to another location within the same town and you feel that separation that's going on, right? Maybe they've moved across country or maybe they've just moved out of your life, period, where they just don't want to have communication with you. Maybe they've gone to hell or gone to heaven, right? And you have that sense of emptiness, you know. We talked about sin the last time that we gathered, didn't we? You remember going through Romans 1, 8 through 18 through the end of the chapter there, and the things that cause separation. I think we have that screened. If we can go ahead and run it, we'll brief it. Don't worry. We won't go into great detail, but some of you, it'll come back to you. Do we have that? Thank you. But God, and this is Romans 1:18, all right, says, but God shows his anger from heaven, and that's a righteous anger, right? We would see that as a fury, right? He showed his righteous anger from heaven against what? Go ahead and say it. All? Right? So that's the context. He said, I'm out. Peace, I'm out. Right? Y'all go on. Raspberries to you. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Captain Obvious. Right? Come on now. You know that there's leaves and they work. Right? I used to be an evolutionist because that's what I was trained in the Denver public school system. I became a creationist when I saw the argument fail. For me, I saw the argument fail. And one of the arguments was this. If we evolve, then motherhood only has one chance of survival success. And I was thinking, man, evolution has to get it right the first time. There's no next species coming, right? If evolution works, how can you... These are my aunt questions I had for me. How can something swim in an ocean or a water body and then come out and breathe oxygen first time right out of the box? Doesn't work for me. Not that way. The only ones that I know are like that are things that are born from liquid into wholeness. But still, there has to be manufacturing. For ever since the world was... I'm sorry, what was that word? Thank you. People have seen the earth and sky. You know, when I look at you, do you know I see a Ferrari? And your different models, your different sizes, you have different paint structure, right? Some of you are convertibles, right? Some of you have a full top, right? And you know what I see when I see you? You need to really hear this. I see the face of God. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you are mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, soulfully. I don't care. That's not what I see. I see you as creations of God. Each and every one so beautifully made, you know. And you guys are family. How do I see my enemies? The same way. The same way. Because you're created in his likeness. And you have the abilities in your soul to express his likeness. Though everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. Are you breathing right now? How many of you think are having to make, I need to breathe right now. Okay. Oh, I need to breathe again. I'd be weary. Oh, blink. Okay, there we go. The heartbeat. Okay. Okay, do it again. 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 Right? You think about walking, but do you think about the thought of walking? Because it's a thought moved to electrical impulse that stimulates a muscle that causes you to lift your leg to move and then the other one and your toe to hit and release and push off and all the structure that has to happen. When I look at you, I see God's handiwork. That's the simplest thing to look at, let alone creatures and whatnot. Mosquitoes and gnats, you can have them. His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. People, listen to me. You have no excuse for not knowing God. Not a one of you. Isn't that wild? You look at your children. You look at your kids. Do you understand the beauty there? Why don't we just like let kids go? We do. We talked about last week the sinful nature of mankind in this world because we think we have some type of comeuppance and right. We have now, this last September, circumnavigated the globe with dead babies from head to toe all the way around the world because of a choice. I am pro-choice, just to make sure we're very clear. I believe that you choose before you shake the sheets with somebody. That's Texan for going in the room. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I know that there's damage and harm that have come. I know that firsthand, unfortunately. I understand that part, but we're not talking about that part. Because if somebody crossed the bridge and violated somebody else, it's less than 0.1% of all of the ones that we have murdered. And here soon, we will go from the moon, from here to the moon and back, stacking babies head to toe, from here to the moon and back, and we're still doing it. I know Roe v. Wade got pushed back to the states. That's all that happened. It didn't change the dynamic of the culture of kill that we have, right? See, the thing is this. We want to go shake the sheets with some gal or some guy, and we don't want to think about that baby that's coming out soon, right? Just to let you know, I was part of trying to abort my daughter. So we're very clear with that. I am not exclusive to that. I was telling my former wife that I wanted that to be done. And she looked at me like I was green and came from another planet. And she was right, because I had. Thank God she held the line, because my daughter is alive and well still to this day. Right? There's a value that God has placed on everything living, even the worst of the worst, even Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, and all, you guys know who he is? Everybody know? Does anybody not know who he is? Okay. He was a hockey player. Yeah. In his apartment, there was a face-off over in the, okay, that's a horrible, disgusting joke. And I even said it. God even created that man to worship him. And if he gave his life to the Christ, at the end of his days, guess what? He gets the same call that we all do. But there was separation. And when there's separation, we do these types of things, right? Have I already read this? No. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Sin makes you stupid, right? So go ahead and say it. Sin makes you stupid. Okay, go ahead. Fools is idiot, foolish, all the above. Next line, please. Thank you. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. You know, there's many a times I'll see people want to put an angel pendant on my breastplate, or they'll have some, here, this angel will protect you. No, that's something that came from China by somebody that was held in slave labor, to deliver this to you, and I'm not worshiping that piece of metal. You know, like Sis, when she went over and she looked at a dead carcass and people were bound to it, probably expecting her to do the same. And God is speaking, you will not worship that. Right? Please. So God abandoned them to whatever shameful things was their heart's desire. Right? That is self-willed separation from God. Did God separate from them? Yes, because in a sense, yes, because sin and righteousness don't dwell together. He separated from them in the sense of giving them free will to move on. Dave, we talked about this last week. Yeah, guess what? We're talking about it again now, because we need to be reminded of how this is sign language for sin is stupid. As a result, they did vile things and degrading things with each other's bodies. So they saw people as worshipful objects to do things that they weren't designed to do. Your body is designed, man and woman, to propagate, to make children. Whether you can or can't, that's not the point of the intent, right? Designed to make children. You weren't designed to place things in locations that were not designed to receive them. It's just as simple as that. You know, you weren't designed for that. Well, I don't have a man or I don't have a woman. You're designed then to be single but unto the Lord. And keep your eyes from looking at things that are going to bring immense damage to your heart and to your soul. Don't do things to your body that does not belong there. Okay, next please. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served things God created instead of the Creator. Hey, are you guys worshiping the white horses today? The Broncos? Are you worshiping? Hey, you know what? I watched Alabama while I was writing the message, Alabama and Georgia, and I saw a gal that was just devastated by the ability for Georgia to lose the game yesterday. In the last few minutes of the game, they showed about a 3 to 5 second clip of her, and I looked at her so dejected, and I'm like, you're worshiping the created. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy sports, because anybody knows in my family, we do like to cheer on our teams. But if the Broncos don't win, or the Cowboys don't win, or my team doesn't win, I am not mortified any longer. Why? Because I have life in Christ. We don't worship the created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Yeehaw. Just when you see amen, just think yeehaw. Okay, whatever. That's an enthusiastic run. Please, the next slide. Thank you. That's why God abandoned them to their shameful desires, because they chose to do so willingly, and God allowed them to be separated from him. He allowed that free will construct. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and indulge in sex with each other. Next. Thank you. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, they burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with each other, with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserve. There's a thing that breaks in their heart. Look. A man's backside, a woman's backside is exit only. Clear? Exit only. Nothing more, nothing less. And if anybody tries to change that in your relationship, you let them know this is not how you treat a woman of God. This is not how you treat a man of God. Do you understand? And men, if you're desiring after other men, stop it. We talked about this a couple of months back. It's not that you're struggling with homosexuality. God has still made you to desire after him first and foremost, her second unto that. Look, you can desire a man's attributes in the sense of going, and I've used this example with Brent. He can grow this gnarly beard. You know, he's got a beautiful beard. I can't grow one. I love to see his beard. I'm thankful he can grow a beard. I think his beard looks kind of cool. There's another guy I know down in Alabama. He just sits and goes, and a beard comes out within 30 seconds. Beautiful, cut, trim. I can't grow one. When I grow one, it looks like a cat got put through a washer and dried in a dryer. But I don't want to have sex with him. Thank you. You're welcome. Do you understand? If there's a woman out there that you desire in your heart in a lustful sense, understand there's a real good solid chance that you're not really desiring that embodiment, that sexual desire, so you can feel something. What's happening here is you're admiring them, and the enemy's kind of twisted that in you. And I think that's what you're going to see a lot more of, in the sense of people not really understanding what to do with these feelings that they have. I don't doubt the love. I really don't. When I have brought insight to people that are having similar gender attraction, you know, in talking with them, the one thing I know is they're feeling love. Period. Slightly misplaced, because we're worshiping the created, right? Not the creator. And we start there. Because when we start talking about the constructs of the Lord, and they start seeing the Word because the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, not Dave, then what happens is they're morphing back into what God had them to be in the origins of life, right? In the origins of their life. And they're no longer going off on this thing. But now when they separate out from that similar gender attraction, now we're talking with the understanding of there's a brokenness, because there's a separation of, even though misspent, there's a separation of love that's happened. So now we're still talking with the person. Do you understand that it takes time, it takes long suffering to work with people as they're understanding more and more about Christ? It's not just a bunch of rules you do. That's not the case. What happens is we actually learn how to not do the things that bring damage to a relationship with a Holy Father. And it takes time to bring restoration or breathe life into a dry vessel. You know, the guy that messed me up was a man that was wrong. He was wrong. He had looked at people the wrong way, and he took it out on me. Right? I'm not mad. I'm not dejected. It took me a while to get through some confusion, because I didn't understand being a younger person. But that doesn't mean that that's changed me. I still don't like pink. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. Has nothing to do with masculinity, because it's already built in. I just don't like the color. I'm not a pastel kind of guy. I don't even like powder blue. Sorry for you guys that like powder blue 67 Chevy pickups. Listen, people are just worshiping the wrong things. And you know what? Can you see the Christ-likeness on the cross? Pained for you and for the people that are rejecting? Forgive them, Dad. Because if they knew you, they wouldn't do this to you. You see, the people that are worshiping the created have first fouled against the Lord. Can you bring up Exodus 20, please? It should be there. Tell me if it's not. Do we have it? And as a result of this sin, they suffered. This is how you win with God. This is for people that don't know the Lord, right? I'm the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Okay, Egypt represents a sinful nature for us, right? I'm the Lord your God who rescued you out of your sin, the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You're chained unto that. Please keep up with me on this. You must not have any other God but me, period. That's why I love seeing you wear your Broncos today, but you're not worried about the game until you get there, right? You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Look, you know, I understand making things like the little things or your tats or whatever. I get all that, but the Bible is kind of clear on tattoos. It's not the tattoo. It's the worshiping of the image to be placed as a god. You know, this guy right here, I don't want tattoos. See here, I got a tattoo right there. You know what that is? That was the day my tattoo artist was drawing a blank. Dad jokes, here we go. Look, Brent has tattoos. He even has one in his armpit. I'm like, yeah, dude, you're wrong. You know, it's not the eye of God. It's not raw. But what I like is that though some of those tattoos were pre-Jesus, the ones now, ask him about the barren pineapple on his arm. Bear fruit, you know, right? If a man remains of me and I in him, he will, apart from me, he can do nothing, right? So it becomes a question mark. It doesn't bother me. It's no different than the tree being here or the stuff on Halloween. You must not bow down to them. I'm not going to bow down to the tat. I'm not going to bow down to the little thing or the Broncos or any above or worship them. For I am the Lord your God, and I am, does that word say jealous? So if you anthropomorphize, that's putting human attributes on God, and use the word jealousy in English, you would have it wrongly. It is, I am a desirous God. I have made you for relationship with me. And in that, I want you all to myself. Not in a, you're going to do what I say. That's a bad husband on a bad day. Or a two-year-old when they want a cookie and you don't give it to them. This piece here, I'm a desirous God. I love you so much. I want you with me forever, right? A jealous God, a desirous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. He won't put up with it. Love me or don't love me. You heard Jesus say, be hot for me or cold for me, yet I spew you out of my mouth in the middle. Right? I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even the children to the third and fourth generation for those who reject me by loving other gods, right? But lavish, do you know what it's like to be lavished over? Oh my gosh. Giving gifts that you probably don't even feel you deserve. I gave a bag of hair to somebody one day. What? Yep. A friend of mine was going through cancer, and she used to sit right over here. And one day I had Brent come in and shave my head here after service was done. And I gave her the bag of hair, and you know what she did? That's creepy, no. And Mary smacked it out. Don't do that. That's weird. But you know something? It was my hair of crown. But I wanted her to not feel alone. I wanted her to know that she had family. And that what she was going through, we were going through. Now, I have to tell you something. My best male friend has passed on and gone to heaven. And he came to me after church and he says, you know, Dave, he said, I got some prostate problems. I was like, you're on your own, pal. lavish unfailing love for a thousand generations of those who love me at my command. Do you understand that when you love God, that blessing, when you put him first, that blessing goes into your lineage? I have people that love God, and I'm the benefactor of that blessing. Manyfold. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord won't let you go unpunished for misusing it. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And people say, that says don't say GD and whatever that means, right? Let me tell you, that's not it. Don't say that. Because what you're saying is you want God to damn somebody to hell because you're hurt and you want the justification. Thus, the use of his name is a vain use for your own principles. It's not as trite as a simple name. It's the imply behind it and the depth that goes with it. Do you understand? We don't use God's name for our own righteous bend, what we think is righteous. It's small r and is worthless, a useless rag, right? It's only his righteousness that matters. So when we use his name, Lord, is this somebody you want? Let me give you the quick example. Solomon was asked in a dream. He said, and it was one of those dreams that you wake up and remember in totality because the Lord left him with that dream. He said, I can give you money. I can give you power. And Solomon responded, neither to those. He says, I'll give you wisdom. Because with wisdom, he says, I want wisdom. Because with wisdom, I will have the reach that I need. I'll have the money that I need. And God said to him, because you did not ask for your enemies to be assaulted, I will give you that as well, and other things as well. So it was just amazing to see the context of is that we're not praying demise on our enemy. We're praying life. We're praying life. So we don't use that name inappropriately. 6 days, take a Sabbath on the seventh. Can I tell you something? I don't have a day that I take a Sabbath. Do you know why? Say it louder.
Jesus is our Sabbath.
Jesus is our Sabbath. I don't need a Sabbath day. I take a day where I rest from the work of the church, and I still do some of the work. I just not the physicality. Usually that's Monday. Your Sabbath may be today. But, you know, Paul is very clear in Colossians about don't worry about your new moon festivals and your Sabbaths and all of these things. And the imply is Jesus is our Sabbath. I'm not saying going against Scripture. I no longer have to deal with the Ten Commandments because I live in the Spirit now. Do you understand? Okay. This is for people that don't know the Lord. But it reminds us how we can break with him. You have 6 days to do your work. Take the next one off. Please, the next slide. Please, the next slide. Thank you. But the seventh is a Sabbath day, yada, 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 yada. This includes your sons, your daughters, your male, female, livestock. Dude, you got to remember, where did they come from? Egypt. I told a brother this morning, you know, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Do you understand that concept? I'm a redneck through and through. I'm a country boy, heart and soul and mind, right? But let me tell you something. You can take the Israelites out of Egypt, but you can't always take the Egypt out of the Israelites. You can take the sinner out of a sinful practice, but you can't always take the sin out of that. That's God's job. God made changes in those. And the folks that didn't get changed, remember they built the golden calf? Who's overseeing that project? Aaron, yeah, second chosen for Moses. Go figure. Nobody's exempt. Where am I? Okay, next slide, please. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, everything in them. Seventh day he rested. That's why the Lord said, blessed is the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And by the way, some of you are working way too hard. Jesus is not your true Sabbath, and you genuinely need to find a day that you rest. Okay? Please, next. Honor your father and mother, then you will live full life in the land of the Lord God has given you. Now, he's telling them that, but the promise still, because you're grafted in due to Christ, have that. When you honor your elders, some of you honor me as a spiritual father, or Mary Lou as a spiritual mom to you. You bring honor in your actions. Some of you are a little, you know, I got T-shirts that tell me about that from time to time. But you know what? Your words may be a little funny or a little crass or whatnot, but I know your honoring is there because I see and feel and understand the love that it's anchored in. You know? Look at that. That's a beautiful promise. You have parents that you're to honor all of your days, right? You must not murder. I'm sorry, but killing my daughter was a murder. You know? Is murder forgivable, yes or no? Yeah, absolutely. You know, suicide is self-plot murder. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not commit murder. That's a plan behind it. Well, you're telling me that people commit. Look, let me tell you something. Suicides are folks without hope because there's a separation going on. They're not near the Lord right now. Do you understand? We all have people that are in our lives that have terminated themselves. And mainly because they want the pain to go away. They just want the pain to stop. And you know who stops the pain? The Holy Spirit, Jesus. He stops that pain. He helps you press into Him. Sometimes when you're going so aggrieved because hope has evacuated your sensibilities, right? You don't feel like the Holy Spirit is enough, or you can't read something in the Word. Understand that when you're stymied, when you're stigmatized like that, your sensitivities may be a slight off. You know, I was talking with a sister earlier. I'm going through a pretty heavy, aggrieved state right now. I'm thankful for the Lord using the Grief Share group that meets from 4 to 6 today. I'm thankful for the group because it allows me to work through some things. But something I'm going to announce to them later, the other day I got triggered by some memories and it shut me down. I am a doer. I get things done. I'm a worker. I get things done. It's just who I am. Anybody that lives with me knows that's the case, right? But this one stagnated me. I couldn't get up off the chair for quite some time. And when it did come time on a Thursday night to come down, right before I came down, I got a shower and I turned the water. And in my house, the hot water, you can't put your hand under it because it will melt you. I turned the hot water up so that my body turned a brilliant red. And I'm going, what am I doing? And I found out that I was just so numb because, you know, when you're desensitized, you're not always full thought. And I was so numb inside that I just wanted to feel something again. And I went, man, what are you doing? I turned that thing off. You're going to look like Toasty Critter. Come in here looking like fried chicken, you know, or whatever. And but it also reminded me of my brothers and sisters that do cutting. They're cutting. They're just wanting to feel something again because the pain is so hurtful. They're wanting to alk up because they don't want to hear it. Crank up the music. They don't want to listen to their thoughts. They'll eat more than they should. They'll do just whatever to insulate that time of grief instead of dialing in with the process of it. Your friends that are separated from the Lord are just dialed in. The ones that have to the absence of hope or understanding thereof. Those that have committed suicide, by and large, it's going to be a hope issue. You know, I'm sorry for your losses aplenty. We have enough of them in our family that is staggering. You know, and I just go, gosh, just one more. Just Lord, just one more. What does that sound like? What movie does that sound like? Lord, just give me one more. Huh? Hacksaw Ridge. Just one more. Because listen, I don't want them to die. I don't want them to go without me knowing that everything we could have done would have made a change in their life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? You don't commit adultery. All of these things you're committing against the Lord first. Adultery part, please, the next. Don't have an adulterous affair. He talked about that on the second commandment. Don't have other gods before me. That is adultery. You know, your husband or your wife is enough. Some of you have had mental adultery. Some of you had physical adultery. Some of you have performed it. Some have been performed against you. And forgiveness is still abounding. And I have countless people in my family. We have a very big family. Countless people in my family that have gone down this road. And I've seen the Lord bring total restoration to the victim, the person that was adulterized. Don't steal. Not a bit of it belongs to you. Because look, you take a paperclip, you're going to take a coin. You take a coin, you're going to take a bill. You take a bill, you're going to take Hostess cupcake. I don't know. But you're going to think that you're entitled to have stuff. Look, you're entitled to leave things alone. It's not yours to take. Don't testify falsely against your neighbor. Don't lie about your neighbor. And that could be an embellishment of a story where you're telling this little story and you want to make yourself out to be a hero, so you'll put a little bitty lie in there. Some of you call it a white lie. Let me tell you what, a lie is a lie. We're only talking about consequences. Let me tell you the core consequence of the quote-unquote white lie. It's still a dropping of the guard. And the responsibility in the smallest of things may not show up in the biggest of things. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah, there's one other one. I remember that. Can I get the next slide, please? Yeah. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. Just none of it. I won't go through the detail. This whole thing is about covetousness. All of it is. Don't do the donkey. Don't take his neighbor. Don't do the donkey. What do they call a donkey in the Bible? Huh? Huh? They call it an ass, right? Well, I have to tell you something. Somebody loved me so much to say, and this is what love looks like. Now, just be ready. Just be ready. Oh, yeah. What does it say? Put the ass back in pasture since 2011. All right? So, thank you much. There's a story behind that. I'll tell it briefly. We were at a high school gathering out in the country, and I did not take the counsel of my wife, nor will I today. I will take the consequences, though. We were out at a high school thing, and we were talking about jackasses being stubborn. And unfortunately, English words and other words, they get morphed into other things. And the word ass, to me, reminds me of a stubborn donkey. And I was like, you know, we were teaching in this same thing in Romans, talking about how much of a jackass we can be, right? Dang, you're just a jackass, Dave. You're so stubborn. You don't want to go where the one that has the reins wants to take you, right? And so we're praying this around the fire, big group, you know, probably, I don't know, 20, 30 kids, I guess, high schoolers. And I said, Lord, just repeat after me, Lord, I'm being a jackass. Calls, looks, moms, all the above. I owned it. I said, look, if I said it, I understand what it is. Have the person call me that's the greatest offense. That was same night, you know, and one of their board directors were there. And when I found out that that was such an offense, it aggrieved me, but not greatly. And I'm not defending my position. Still am not defending the position. I said, look, the buck stops with me for what I say and do. I have to stand before the Lord with what I say and do. And one of the guys was actually ministered to that was a leader there. He says, rare is it that you see a man will stand up and take that kind of conviction. Most men, like Adam, want to convey it to another, right? So the calls did not come, but when they did come, I told the lady this is what it was. But what I did tell Brent, I said, look, this is probably a season we need to step away from that location, you know, for a while, because there's an absence of maturity. Maybe I shouldn't have used the word jackass, you know. I will say every time Brent and Molly go to the zoo, I get a picture of the Somali wild ass. It comes to my phone. And I just rolled in laughter, and yet he felt so compelled to have one of the saints here make a shirt, and he was so concerned that she would be problematic with making the shirt. Evidently, she wasn't. So if you see me wear the shirt, that's one of those times of endeared love does not look all sweet and sappy, right? It has a whole different feel to it. Have I offended anybody here with this terminology? My wife and her sister. Okay, all right. And they both walk on water in the shower. Don't covet anything. Don't covet anything. You know what? We'll teach the second half of this next week. But let me tell you something. God's not finished with you yet. Can you laugh in church? Can you cry in church? Can you be stupid in church? It's evident. But let me tell you something. How can we all sit in a room of laughter when I'm feeling so aggrieved? Because the Lord is so powerful that He won't let us be stuck with where we're at. He wants us to continue to operate in the fullness of Him. Now watch. Are there days that I can run pretty fast? Ask my nephew, Danny. We were 21 feet apart, and I was showing him what it was like to close the gap on an assailant if you were carrying a self-device, like maybe spray or something like that. And so I walked away. I took a plastic potato masher backwards, and I said, okay, be ready. And he got ready, and I shot up after him. I was like, dee, 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 pushed him against the door, dee, 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 didn't hit him. I mean, came close to him. And I was saying, what did you notice? And I thought he was going to say, man, it takes some time for it. He goes, I didn't know you were that fast. You didn't know a six-decade man could run that fast, huh? The chubby carried me, I'll tell you that. He will allow us to do the things he wants us to do in the midst of everything that we're going through. Why? Because he knows the experience of mankind. He really does. And he doesn't want you stuck. There are days that I can run lightning fast. See, I just ran around the room. Did you see it? Y'all see it again? Okay. And there are days that I'll walk like this. And there are days I'll be like this. Because I'm hurt. And I want to thank you for help lifting my arms and my bride's arms as we've been going through this time. 95 deaths is a hard thing to carry. That's how many people have gone to heaven out of this church. Do you feel that? There's people in here that you're all new with one another. I just posted on Facebook 10 years ago this last week of what this building looked like when it started. And just like the rest of us, we've all changed. I've gotten less wrinkles. I still wear dark clothes because it's so slimming. Right? But the thing is this, the constant that's been this is that the Lord is still on the throne and he's still walking us through it as we fail. He's there picking us up. He's walking us through it. When I'm walking around and thinking, the Holy Spirit is right there. Can I give you a little insight to something? We talked about it before. You remember Elijah. He went off to heaven like in a chariot of fire. Yeehaw. Okay. That was a Suzuki scooter for you that don't know. He went off to heaven in a chariot of fire, so he lived that, right? But didn't he come back on the Mount of Transfiguration alive and well? Okay. That same God is working with you. The same God that can take the natural, bring it into the supernatural. And then his assistant, Elijah, was having his assistant seeing the battle with the Israelites being lost. And Elisha spoke to that unnamed assistant. He said, let him see. And his eyes were opened to the angelic host that was in battling. I love the picture when they're coming to pick up Jesus, you know, to take him to the cross. And he said, are you Jesus? And he goes, I am. And you know, that throng of people that were there numbered close to 1,000 that were coming to pick him up. Fell. I am. And they show real quick in the text that he comes back right away and says, are you he? No, they had to get up and unclink their armor and all the above. And what was that all about? Is that the guy? You know? That same power is there with you. That same I am is there with you. And if he allowed you to, Lord, let them see. And the veil of this life was removed and you saw the spiritual veil, that, you know, which is covering you right now. You see that spiritual? Dude, you would see the angelic hosts in this room right now. And what do they look like? IDK.
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't care. All I know is that he's created them to do a job they're doing and he's created you to do a job that you're supposed to do. In the midst of your trials, challenges, and all the above. So when you go out there and you see a sinful world acting poorly, don't get bad. Get with the Lord. Don't get upset with that political party one side or the other. Don't get caught. Don't get baited into that. Man, if they just knew the Lord, they wouldn't do that. Do you understand? Can you live with that? Yay, nay? Now listen. Some of you think coming in here and sitting on your buttocks. Notice I didn't say butt. Okay. You're sitting on your buttocks, right? You need to make sure that when you arise and go, that you don't sit on your soulful, spiritual buttocks when you're out in the field, because you are in a battle. Mary Lou reminded me of this morning. You are in a battle, and it requires you to remove your rear from the gear and get moving. Does that make sense? So when you get up off your buttocks, you'll drop to your knees, because that's where the battle begins before the Lord. Amen? So, go. Can I hold that for just a quick second? One quick second. What did you guys hear? I'm going to hang. Okay.